Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line a very, very special guest and a good friend, Bill Sardi. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, of course, these are certainly exciting times. The year 2002 is wrapping up. We're going into 2003. And I really believe that this is going to be among the most difficult times of our lives. I believe we're going to war. I believe we're going to see financial problems unparalleled since the days of the great crash of 1929. And now then, of course, we're told in the latest issue of Foreign Affairs magazine that there is a possibility that there may well be a biological attack here in the United States. Now, the Foreign Affairs magazine really is how the elite communicate among themselves, and the writer of the article entitled Suicide to Avoid Murder is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. The fact that they're warning the elite that there may be a biological attack, doesn't that give you concern that certainly our leaders are concerned that this could very well happen, and they're probably making preparations for themselves to protect themselves and their families should the unthinkable come to pass?
Well, it certainly is a mixed time. I think there's a lot of cross wires in the news. I mean, if I asked you today and your audience, where are all the aircraft carriers? Where do we have them bunched? Well, we have them over in the East, Middle East, and of course, I think we've got four major aircraft carrier groups there ready to pounce upon Iraq. Okay, what threat does Iraq pose to the world? I can't name one unless it's this so-called biological threat. We haven't been able to find one yet over there.
Well, of course, the thing is that
how many aircraft carriers are surrounding Korea, which has an announced nuclear threat?
Well, the thing is that Saddam is not going to attack the United States unless, of course, as a last movement of desperation, knowing he's going to be killed and his family is going to be killed, he is just crazy enough to strike out at our country.
Well, he certainly is, and of course, they've made it clear here. I think the Iranians in the news now are going to strike. They've said that they will strike and that they have some plans to strike at any move against Iraq with both missiles and hand missiles, handheld missiles, and in other ways, biologically throughout the world, they would strike back with terrorism.
Well, of course, we know that Iran does have nuclear weapons. We know that they have chemical and biological weapons. And we also know that they have terrorist cells right here in the United States. And they've been here for at least 10 years. That's covered in a book called Attack on the West by Joseph Badansky, who is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Conventional Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. He wrote a book back in 1993 by title of Attack the West, and that book was totally suppressed. You can't get a copy of it anywhere here in the United States. Actually, in America, it was called Attack the West. In England, it's called Attack America. In Europe, it was called Attack the West. And that book has been totally suppressed in the United States. So, but we know you're absolutely right. Iran does have these cells network all across the world. And yet, of course, we're focusing on Al-Qaeda. And yet, of course, Iran has always been the major threat.
Of course they have. They're the biggest army. Of course, they were going to overrun Iraq. That's why we had to arm Iraq, because it was going to get overrun. They certainly just have the largest military threat in that area. And I imagine Syria would chime in the middle of this. I was talking to some Wall Street people, and the way they see it is the world's in an economic downturn, spiraling downward as we talk. And the attempt will be to capture the oil fields in the Middle East, break the oil cartel, bring down the cost of oil, grab the oil fields in Iran and Saudi Arabia also, eventually or quickly, and thereafter bring down the price of petroleum and therefore spur on the world economies, you see, because our cost of energy and gasoline and so on would plummet down, which would spur on growth.
Well, of course, that's exactly what Major General Smedley Butler said. You know, he said war is a racket. Here was a commandant of the Marine Corps, certainly one of our most highly decorated Marine officers, and he wrote a book called War is a Racket. He said, I fought all over the world, you know, for the American Fruit Company and for various corporations, and he said, I would never fight again. And what you're suggesting is this really is not because of the wicked Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction that threaten us. This is all has to be do with economics, has to do with Chevron Oil Company. Actually, of course, Condoleezza Rice came from the board of directors of Chevron Oil Company. Dick Cheney came from Halliburton, where he made, I don't know, $30 or $40 million in the short sojourn. He was there. And, of course, they're deeply involved in oil and in oil production. Are we sending our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die for the corporations?
Well, it certainly seems that way. After all, we do have a threat in Korea, and I must say it is a bogus threat. They're just throwing it in as a last-minute thing to get concessions from us. They see us going to war somewhere else, so if we pose someone else poses a threat on a different front, they're likely to extract more concessions from us. And, of course, that's really all Korea's doing. They can't even feed their troops, let alone their people. And the nuclear threat is imagined. They're only moving around little things over there, some of the nuclear, you know, the little cylinders that they carry all this stuff in. So it doesn't really mean anything yet. But and of course, if it really posed a threat, I mean, if you just imagine we could do something about it, I mean, we certainly could. So. But nonetheless, you have to ask yourself, why are we going to Iraq if we're drumming up the big threat from Korea? Certainly, Korea might pose a bigger threat if they have an army and it's sitting there right on the border of an ally and so on. Japan certainly is concerned. So.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi. And as long as we've got him on the line, let's hear Bill talking on another subject.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alimex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alimex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alimex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alimex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I just want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and if you are out there and you'd like to find out more about them, we'd be glad to either send you some information or perhaps you'd like, of course, to get an introductory set of the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, and of course the neutralizer. Now, we can't make any medical claims about them because, of course, the government won't allow us to. We can only say that many of our listeners have had some of the most amazing stories about what the products have done for them, and certainly I know I have had a rash, and I've used that, and it's helped my rash. My wife uses a neutralizer to actually go ahead and help her heartburn. Not authorized for it, but seems to help pretty well and got her off the expensive medicines. We had a fellow over today who told us that he had two Christmas trees, and he put, of course, a little of the Miracle 2 soap into the water in one of them and not in the other just to see what would happen. And, of course, when he took the Christmas trees down yesterday, why, the one Christmas tree was as fresh as the day he bought it. The other one, why, the needles were falling off. So anyway, all we can say is that the Miracle 2 products seem to have been very, very beneficial. If you'd like to try them, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and you just heard him talking about the Alamax products. And certainly, if there were to be a biological attack, how would people prepare themselves? And let me suggest that the most important thing would be your own immunity. Certainly, Kenneth Alamax, who is the number two man in the Soviet biological warfare preparation, he actually defected to the United States. I had a chance to personally talk to him. I read his book, Biohazard, and his approach is, look, there is no way that you can possibly immunize people against all these possible, there, I mean, there are 56 different types of horrible organisms that they can unleash on you. He said, you know, I had to take vaccines, all of those, and so did all of the people who worked with me. And, of course, I personally am so allergic. I'm allergic to everything. Because actually, as you challenge the immune system with all of these various vaccines, why, of course, it really sickens that we were never made to be taking multiple vaccines, and we're approaching this disease all wrong. And his suggestion is build up the immunity. How do you feel about that, Bill?
Well, absolutely. Just think, I mean, smallpox was killing millions every year, but it certainly wasn't killing everybody in even undernourished populations. So we have to think the human immune system is always larger, it's always greater than the threat is posed. Otherwise, you know, the human race would have vanished a long time ago, and certainly a long time ago in the sense of they had more diseases. I mean, we had the plague, we had, diphtheria, we had all kinds of things, you know, typhoid and all these things in the past. So we had more challenges. So certainly mankind can withstand these things. We're certainly learning how to do it. It's your immune system. We began fortifying our foods with vitamins and minerals back in the 1930s and 40s. We began purifying our water in 1908. We chlorinated it and got the bugs out. So all these have been dramatic measures to improve our health, and we're not as susceptible today. For instance, the flu virus of 1918, this was the Spanish flu that killed millions worldwide, swept around the country, started in the United States. And of course, it wouldn't probably happen today in the United States. We're just too well nourished. But I do point out to people that vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, and zinc are the four, two minerals, two vitamins, are the four major nutrients. You might make sure you get those into your diet on a regular basis with a food supplement, because the amount of those vary in the soil and the foods you eat and so on. So you want to make sure that you get plenty of it. And they tell us 300 to 500 milligrams at least of vitamin C, maybe 2,000 milligrams a day, a couple of hundred units of vitamin E, a couple of hundred micrograms of selenium, maybe 15 to 25 milligrams of zinc. That would serve your immune system well. In fact, some of you may find some of the problems you have with your skin and other problems disappear just doing that. So that's all worthwhile to do. It's inexpensive. Why not do it now? As we get older, your immune system goes down anyway. So learn how to use these things. They're not expensive. Easy to use. If you're taking medications, they won't interfere with them. So.
And really, it's so amazing. You know, they tell us, oh, well, you're an older person. You got to take your flu shots, flu time. The trouble is that if your immune system isn't working, your flu injection isn't going to do you any bit of good.
You're not going to develop antibodies. That's correct.
And, of course, if your immune system is working, you're probably not going to get the flu or it's not going to be a serious problem. So instead of course, trying to prevent the flu and build up immunity, they want to do everything with another injection. And the tragedy is some people get very sick. An awful lot of people get a flu from this flu shot, and a certain number of them are going to die. And, of course, if people, and we were working on increasing immunity, we wouldn't be having the problems we are today.
No, this is certainly true. There are many other good things we can use to boost our immunity, too. There's, in the herbal area, there's some things, too. So particularly medicinal mushrooms, I like those, and I use them, and I think they work. So I think there are many things that we can learn about. They're inexpensive, and we've certainly got to have things ready at hand. We can't run to the doctor because if we have a crisis, the healthcare system will be overwhelmed and we need something to reach for at home. So use something safe, use something reliable, use something that doesn't harm your pocketbook too much. And of course, we've done a lot to talk to people about fresh garlic and lots of other wonderful things they can do to improve their immune system.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about the fresh garlic and what they really need to do. Let me, before you do that, my friend John Leffler sent me an article. He'd gotten this from London just yesterday. And apparently there was an article in Reuters pointing out that in Britain they're talking about if there is a biological attack there, they are going to arm the troops. British troops are all going to have loaded weapons. And if anybody tries to leave a town, if there's been a biological attack, they're simply going to shoot them. They will use force with biological warfare, of course, to cordon off areas. So, you know, what do people do? Well, they better have a good immune system. And that's why we've asked Bill to come on and talk about these things. These are not imaginary threats. In fact, when you begin reading about this in Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created, why, of course, well, you don't ignore it at all. Obviously, they think that there is a very real possibility. And when they began talking, this article was December 29th, 2002, and a Reuters release talking about in Great Britain, they've told the civilians there that, of course, they will arm the troops. If there's a biological attack, you will not try to escape that area and contaminate the rest of the nation. So tell us a little bit about garlic. And I just want to comment, I've been taking this Alamax for, I guess, 3 or 4 months since Bill got me started on it. Everybody around me has come down with a flu. I had a little sniffles for a couple of days, and you know, but otherwise I really did amazingly well, and all my friends have been laid up for many of them weeks at a time. So what is this about? Why does garlic work, and how does it work, and why is it beneficial to take a garlic extract?
Well, of course, and if I said to your listeners tonight, the biggest threat you may have in your future is a little disease called vaccinia, and you say, well, what's vaccinia? That's the little cowpox bug they give you if you should undergo the vaccination for smallpox. You see, we could end up with cowpox, you know, kind of vaccinia is what they call it. So that's a little bug all by itself, and it can do you in. It could even be fatal. So the bigger threats from the vaccines, because we really don't have any smallpox here, and don't believe smallpox is going to end up in Boise, Idaho, or some little place in the middle of eastern Washington or something. It's, believe me, it's going to be hard to ever be a threat in your lifetime. You've got bigger threats from contaminated water and food and things like this. But nonetheless, those are all real, too. And, you know, they don't want us to know about a little molecule on the planet called allicin. Allicin is the active ingredient in garlic. You won't find it in the garlic pills, regardless of what it says on the labels of the garlic pills. But in fresh, crushed garlic, you make that pungent, odoriferous, hard to say. The odor-causing component is allicin, and of course, that's the little stuff that lowers your blood pressure, lowers the cholesterol, kills all the germs known to mankind. That's bacteria, viruses, funguses, protozoa, amoebas, everything known it kills. And we have a hard time getting it. If you just crush some fresh garlic, an average-sized clove, you'll make 6,000 micrograms of that. If you blend it really well in a blender, you'll make 12,000. And those are good ways to do it. Now, for a lot of folks, boy, you're going to have social problems with the odor from the fresh garlic, and it may be a little troublesome on your stomach and things like that. So, of course, we've been looking for alternatives. The British came along, a wonderful company in Britain a year ago, did a study. It was in the British Broadcasting News, where they used this wonderful new Alamax capsule, and it was a little first time they ever captured and stabilized real allicin in a garlic pill. It does not cause any odor. It has real allicin in it, just like fresh garlic, and you take it every day. And in the British study, they were able to reduce the risk of the common cold by over 50%. For the people who did get a cold, they had symptoms for about a day and a half. The people that didn't take it had symptoms of a cold for a little over 5 days. So that's what we're trying to do, is just get along, keep working. And of course, what happens if we have a serious threat and antibiotics aren't available to us or something like this should ever occur? I'm not suggesting that all these are equivalent. You know, I'd love to see a day when we do enough testing to prove garlic is certainly, you know, as good as all the other treatments we have, but we have to have a backup system at home. We suggest a home antibiotic kit of some kind. And I must say, if you're one of those people who wants to rely on penicillin and tetracycline and all the other wonderful mycin drugs, you know, they're all wonderful antibiotics, but they're not working any longer. There's antibiotic resistance. The germs are learning their way around it. We lose 40,000 people's lives prematurely every year now, mostly in hospitals to drug-resistant bacteria. We could just use this new Alamax capsule. In fact, we've had success with it with people who have drug-resistant infections.
All right, we'll be back here in just a few minutes with Bill Sardi. But right now, of course, I want to tell our listeners about some of the items we carry at Radio Liberty. One of them, of course, is the Phonopoly Games. And, of course, Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly to teach children who are victims of government schools how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, Phonopoly is really a fascinating game. I've played it, and I'll have to admit that I learned a great deal. There are 40 sounds in the English language, 12 rules, and when you know those, you can spell and you can certainly pronounce words grammatically, but you begin, of course, to read phonetically. And so that's the way we were intended to read. They don't do that in the government schools now. They give the children this method of approach to words, and sometimes they will, when they read, they will, of course, stumble over words, and they stumble over words because they've never been taught phonics. Phonopoly is available by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. And then, of course, we have the Robinson Homeschool curriculum that will teach children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. It's on 22 CDs. And, of course, Dr. Robinson trained his 6 children on it. The first 2 children graduated, went directly in the 3rd year of college. They were so advanced. 50,000 out across the country. We've never had a complaint on the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. We think you'll enjoy it. Give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like either to get a packet or you'd like to consider getting one, that's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. The only thing you have to buy separate are the Saxon math books, and they're available at a discount through Dr. Robinson. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first 5 wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Bill, I'm sorry I had to sort of interrupt you there. Why don't you go ahead and pick up the thought? You were basically saying that there is a certain amount of antibiotic resistance among many of the organisms today, and it seems to be growing. Many of the penicillins and mycins that we've used in the past don't work against everything. Certainly they work against many things, but you never know when you have something that's resistant to the traditional treatments, and it certainly is nice to have a backup.
Well, we're going to need the backup. We're all going to be using the oil of oreganos and olive leaf extracts and the garlic, the fresh garlic that has the allicin in it, because these other antibiotics are failing. The more you use the other antibiotics, the more you're going to develop drug-resistant forms of bacteria. We have a common bacterium in our digestive tract called Helicobacter pylori. 50% of us have it. It can cause gastric cancer. It can cause stomach ulcers. It certainly causes a lot of indigestion for lots of people. We can kill that bacterium, but if we're doing it with conventional antibiotics, we'll just induce a drug-resistant form and never be able to kill it. So we need to use these natural antibiotics. Why? Because there's no drug resistance to them. What God gave us, what nature gave us, works without developing drug resistance. This has been proven since 1858 when Louis Pasteur discovered that a fresh extract of garlic, of course, killed germs in a little laboratory dish under a microscope. It was later, 1922, that Alexander Fleming was given the credit for penicillin as the first antibiotic. Actually, it was garlic in 1858, and we could go back earlier than that. Certainly, they had known that certain herbs like hyssop and garlic and so on had antibiotic action because they were used even back in the Bible times. They cleansed their weapons when they came back from war with hyssop and garlic and so on. So they certainly knew what germs were. They just couldn't see them until we had microscopes in the 1600s. So we certainly knew about them. These are certainly natural antibiotics. They're safe to use, and we've never observed any antibiotic resistance to them. So we are, of course, concerned that our healthcare systems are going to be failing, about our health insurance programs are rising about the premiums 12% a year. The National Academy of Sciences says our healthcare system has collapsed. 40 million do not have health insurance. It's getting worse. What does it all mean to us? Look, do something positive. Start building a little kit at home so you can take care of yourself and don't always have to run to the doctor. Certainly you need a little instruction, but these are all good things to have. You're going to get sick during the year from food poisoning or from colds and flu and these kind of things. And biological threats, terrorism, it's possible. I guess anything would be. But we certainly need to be prepared for all of these threats, and it's a good idea to have it all at home where you have something you can at least get started with if antibiotics are in short supply.
Well, let me just point out to our listeners that we hear all the crisis about health care. We hear about, of course, how the cost of drugs are going up. Why are the costs of drugs going up? A lot of these drugs are no longer even covered by patent. They are creating intentionally and maliciously a health care crisis. Even the generic drugs are going up in price. Now, you can buy these things in Mexico or Canada at a third the price. Here in the United States, you'll pay $80 for a hepatitis B vaccine shot, which you probably don't need and which we certainly should not be giving to our children. Over in China, where they do need it, why? Because they have, well, 700 million Chinese got hepatitis B, most of them from dirty needles used during vaccines. 120 million still have active hepatitis. They do need the vaccine shots over there, but they give them to them for $1 each of other vaccines we manufacture here in the United States. As we are being used to subsidize the rest of the world, driving up our costs. What's the solution? Why, they're going to come up with a socialized medical system for everybody. The Republicans are going to push it under the Bush administration. They're, of course, going to have the government provide the drugs for everybody. It's subsidized prices, of course, through our private health insurance. To give you the idea, this is going to be somehow private. This is going to be paid for by the government. Where is the government going to get the money? Our state of California has a budget deficit of $38 billion. Our national overall debt, and I'm not talking about the national debt, but our over debt now is $30.9 trillion. It's increased $5 trillion in the last 3 years. If you don't believe it, we'll be glad to send you the figures that from the Fed. And now they're going to come up with new programs to come up with more money, and the whole thing is beginning to implode.
Did you say $30 trillion is the national debt?
No, that is the overall, the debt of the entire nation, not the national debt. The national
Correct.
Debt is about
$6.2
trillion, but
right.
the debt,
when
overall
we add all
debt, the combined
debt,
I suppose, what you'd call it.
Right. All the personal debts and credit card debts and so on, then you'd say that it comes to $30
trillion. $30.9 trillion, and it's increased $5 trillion in the last 3 years. The whole system is beginning to fall apart, and we're going to have to start looking after ourselves. We're not going to be able to depend on somebody else, because every problem we have, everything the government does just makes it worse. It's sort of like getting into quicksand and trying to struggle to get out. And there's no problem facing America today that a new program, whether put forward by the Republicans or by the Democrats, or as we saw with the education bill, put forward by that fearsome duo, Ted Kennedy and George W. Bush, that new program for education, No Child Left Behind, that is just a total complete disaster. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Then, if you would like a copy of the page that we got, which actually has the Federal Reserve figures on it, that has the $30.9 trillion, and then you can see where we were 5 years ago. And the Fed, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, have created this massive bubble of debt. And this debt has got to be paid off sooner or later. And, of course, when it does, it could mean the end of the society as we've known it here. And, of course, it's all because they've created these problems, and they've created many of them intentionally, as they have created the crisis in health care, the shortage of nurses. My goodness, we used to have LVNs working on the wards. We don't do that anymore, and now we have a shortage of nurses. You just try and get a back rub in the hospital. I mean, you've got more chance of your Enron stock coming back than getting a back rub in the hospital that we had before the government stepped in to improve our health care. Well, Bill, of course, now you've written a couple of books. You've written a wonderful book on the Bible and medicine. We want to just talk a little bit about that, because I think that's a wonderful book. I know my wife loves it.
Well, certainly people are always intrigued by, the health. How did people stay healthy in Bible times? What about the miracles? Were they true? Are they still medically accurate? What about faith healing? What about how do we stay healthy today? How does God want us to live healthy lives physically? And, of course, all of those questions I attempted to answer in a little book called The Power of Healing. And, of course, it's a wonderful 8.5 by 11 large print book, has lots of wonderful illustrations and things in it from the Bible. And, of course, you can go to a little website called Here and Now Books, hereandnowbooks.com. You can find that wonderful book. It's offered there. You can learn about it, look at the table of contents, those kind of things. And, of course, we love to share things out of that book. And I think as the new year comes, we need to know that God is faithful, that the Bible is true, that it's not mythology, that all this was... that God has a wonderful plan for us, that there is a positive future through all the negatives that we talk about. I mean, you were talking about national debt. I was just looking it up here. It's we of the $6 trillion of our national debt, that's $2,000 a person, but that's a phony figure because it's all on the back of us guys who work, so it's $4,000 per worker. So, see, you've got another credit card debt that's hidden for $4,455 a worker. Everybody works in the United States. So, we've got all these debts, we've got all these negative things, but wouldn't it be nice to know some things to encourage us in the new year, to know that God is faithful to us and that he has a plan, and that certainly Christians can keep their chin up and know that, there's a way for us to be knowledgeable and know ways to wade our way through negative times. Certainly if we think we're having bad times, look at what they went through in the Bible times. The Israelites were captured by foreign countries and taken off into slavery and all kinds of things that we wouldn't even dream happening. So whatever little troubles we undergo, certainly they were magnified during those times, and of course they learned how to endure over them. God was faithful to them too. So we need to learn these things, and I put it all down in a wonderful little book, and some of the miracles are there. And of course I can simply say that after examining it with modern medicine, there still is no explanation for many of the miracles. It means that certainly that we can't explain them away. They were just wonderful things that occurred, and of course they came from the hands of our Creator, God Himself in Jesus as He healed these people. So it's a wonderful testimony, and if some of you would like to read that book, you can find it at hereandnowbooks.com.
Well, of course, you know, the interesting thing is, of course, garlic, penicillin, the mycense, all of these things were really things that God had created. For instance, we know that foxglove, this is where the digitalis comes from, and belladonna is where atropine comes from. In fact, all of the medicines, so many of the medicines that doctors use and use regularly, are direct products of either flowers or roots. They were products. Quinine came from the bark of trees, and it was just by serendipity they found how these things worked. So there really is all of this information that's out there, but we've forgotten so much of it because it's become commercialized. And the idea that you could actually have an antibiotic activity within garlic is something why everybody would scoff at. But these are God's antibiotics. They weren't put out by Eli Lilly.
No, that's true. I, for your audience, I'll try to make this in just a minute explanation or a minute and a half, but I don't know everybody realizes that the human body, our bodies, humans used to live a lot longer. The Bible says for hundreds of years. Is that just mythology? Is there any truth to it? Actually, humans once made their own vitamin C. Animals mostly still make their own vitamin C, except for a few fruit bats, a couple of guinea pigs, and so on. But man used to make his own vitamin C. As sugar would pass through the liver, it would enzymatically be converted to vitamin C. Man lost that ability somewhere in the past. If man still made his own vitamin C, the scientists say that humans would live for hundreds of years. They know that a genetic mutation occurred in the liver, and we no longer make the enzyme to convert our blood sugars to vitamin C. So it actually occurred in the past, and man once lived for hundreds of years. The Bible is true. So.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Bill Sardi, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for just a moment or two. I'm going to have to tell you that, as I always do at this time, the Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there and the listening audience who believe in what we're doing, who would like to help us as we try to expand our message out across America, from not only from sea to shining sea, but really all across the world. And by the miracle of electronics, we're heard on the shortwave, we're heard on the internet, and we have listeners over in Australia, and we have them in Germany, and we have them in England, and we have a gentleman, Leif, who I regularly listen to, is over in Norway, and then we are on the satellite 3 hours a day, shortwave 2 hours a day. Really, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to reach out and give people the information they're not going to get from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. But, of course, it's all expensive. And so if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we hope that many of you will decide right now you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as simple as giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. HIV War. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, or you may just want to subscribe to the newsletter, which is $25 a year, and you'll get our newsletter every month, and we will give you the information that you need to begin making preparations for the difficult times that I believe lie ahead. And so if you'd like a free copy, our October newsletter is Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, totally suppressed by the media because it told you what really happened. A last September 11th, 9 November newsletter that deals with the fiat money system. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Bill, would you like to put out your web address, and would you like to put out the number where people could learn more about the Allison?
Well, certainly. For people that want a lot of good free health information, all about whether you should get a smallpox vaccination, the answer is no. And other good information about autism or the common cold or why the Japanese live so long and all, a lot of wonderful other information, just go to my website, askbillsardi.com. That's B-I-L-L-S as in Sam, A-R-D-I. Askbillsardi.com. All the information is free. There's a little connection there to some reports about garlic and things, so you can read those. That's helpful to you as well. If you want to find out about this wonderful new Alamax garlic capsule, been imported here to the United States from Britain, the manufacturer has a number here in the United States. That's 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. So if you're interested in that, and so many people have asked for that report, they'll send you a free report or whatever you'd like. So if you want to order the Alamax, they'll tell you how to get it. So it's all information for you. Please take advantage of it now while you have a little lull in the events of the world and you have a chance to get caught up and learn about these things.
All right, fine. That website is askbillsardi.com. If you're out in the listening audience now, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Roger calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, gentlemen. I want to wish you all a very blessed coming year. I had two questions for you, if you have time. We continue to be pushed on a weekly basis, this 30% death rate figures for smallpox, which I assume were worldwide figures and not even for the U.S. way back when. But it was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, some time in the last few months, got to ask some epidemiologist or other at CDC or some other medical conference, what did these people actually die of? And the person responded, well, a lot of them died from electrolyte depletion, and another quantity of them died from the skin sloughing off, which I presume meant opportunistic infections. Now, aren't these both things that we treat for very well today, and that could bring these death figures down to easily 1 to 3% or somewhere in a more conventional range?
Well, the death rate is far lower than what they're quoting. They have admitted that, but they keep running this old figure over and over. It has been admitted to. They have said, yes, that's true. But then again, they keep printing that old figure. But just for everyone to understand, if you got smallpox, I don't want to say it in the wrong way, but you certainly might not feel like living much longer. I mean, it is a horrible disease to go through. On the other hand, it's very rare for you to get it. Understand, you really have to have very, very close contact to get this, and it's possible. It's possible with the right immune system, you know, you can become infected and withstand this. So you had a mild infection, you might not even have all the skin eruptions, and you just go right on through. So, see, we've never had a well-nourished population that could get its hands on food supplements and be knowledgeable and know what to do. Where all these diseases occurred, of course, were in populations that were undernourished. So we certainly, I mean, they talk about the Ebola virus. You don't see it here because we simply don't have it. We're too well-nourished to get it. They act like it's going to come here. Well, how could it come here?
Well, unless it was brought here. In fact, we did have an outbreak of it. It was in laboratory monkeys. The first outbreak in Europe was in laboratory monkeys. It was in Marburg, Germany, which they called it Marburg disease. Isn't it interesting? We keep finding that disease in laboratory monkeys. I wonder why. And the other thing is, Roger, there are other vaccines much safer than the ones we have. The Japanese had developed one back in the 1960s. They used it in the 1970s, gave it to thousands and thousands of people, very, very few reactions to it. The Germans did the same thing. We can't use those safe vaccines here. The government won't let us. I wonder why. Anything else, Roger?
Well, if I could revert back to the political and oil question. I remember back in the Gulf War, what, 92 or 93, wasn't it costing us something like, I forget how many billions of dollars a day? I'm guessing that war cost easily $100 billion, that real quick push-button war. And doesn't one have to make an awful lot of savings on barrels of oil? Aren't we perhaps still paying for all the money we saved on oil, a consequence of that war? And yeah, certain industries make out, military industries, etc., but by and large, the taxpayers take it in the arm rather than the people at the pump. Is there some defect in my analysis here?
Would you like to answer that, Bill?
I don't think there's any defect in his analysis, no. I think some of that is, there's always a little truth there to all these things, and I don't know what they're going to do now. I'm just sitting here at the computer reading the BBC News. Of course, they're almost a day ahead here. They're next year here. And the headline there is, "No basis for war in Iraq. UN Secretary says Iraq is cooperating. The war is not inevitable." Well, I want to see this one. I mean, we've got billions of dollars spent and aircraft carriers surrounding the place. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, let me address your statement there, Roger. What you have to understand is during the Gulf War, it may have cost about $100 billion, but a lot of that was paid back by Kuwait and by Saudi Arabia. So
That's correct. And
a lot of other countries put a lot of money in, so that war didn't really cost us that much. Now, there was no reason for the war. Saddam called in our ambassador, April Gillespie, and said, what should we do if, what would America do if I were to invade Kuwait? And she said, what you would do with Kuwait is of no interest to us. That's even covered in this latest article in Foreign Affairs magazine. April Gillespie told Saddam Hussein, for all intents and purposes, to go ahead. Was she stupid? Or was she carrying out orders? We will never know, because, of course, she's disappeared from the scene ever since then. But, then, of course, we go to war, and we have this bloody war, and we've got this terrible and evil Saddam Hussein, who has his soldiers whipping the little children out of the bassinets in the nursery and stabbing them there with their bayonets. Of course, there's no truth to the story, but it whipped up a war fever, and we were hearing about the wicked Iraqi soldiers raping women and all of the stories that you tell to whip up enthusiasm for war. But, of course, we've got this terribly wicked Saddam Hussein. Our troops are 60 miles from Baghdad. They'd be there in 2 hours, and the order comes, don't take out Saddam Hussein. What is this really all about? And I, of course, those of you who have heard me talk about the book See No Evil by Robert Byrd, who was a CIA station chief in northern Iraq in 1995. And he points out that in 1995, why the Iraqi military wanted to take out Saddam Hussein and we wouldn't let them. And now we want to go to war. It's almost as if this whole thing is scripted and there's another agenda, and I really believe there is. And I hope and pray that that agenda does not come. We don't find out what it is that is.
Now, the British press is reporting that Don Rumsfeld a decade ago aided and abetted Saddam Hussein. Now, here you go. So what was that all about?
What's this all about, or maybe nothing as it appears to be, and it's about time the American people understand behind everything are these spirits or forces we talk about.
Well, I don't recall Ms. Gillespie ever having been chastised by her handlers, so obviously she was doing what she was told to do, right?
Well, all we can tell you is what we know, and it's covered in this latest article, committing suicide to avoid murder. It's in the January-February issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the Theoretical Journal of America's Secret Government. Okay, thank you so much, Roger. Always good to hear from you. Bye-bye. Well, Bill, we're just about out of time, and you know that it's going to be 2003 here in just a very few hours.
Yes, it certainly will be. It's going to be an ominous year economically. We see a lot of debts statewide, and we see a lot of unemployment, and we see a lot of bankruptcies and all these kinds of grim things. So I think that it'll be a grim year that way, but I think it will be an encouraging year other ways, and certainly for Christians, we have a reason to smile and have hope that God is in control.
And, of course, you know, in Kentucky, they're releasing prisoners because there's no money to actually feed the prisoners or hire the guards for prisons. They even have a tentative plan here in California, although they haven't announced it yet. We are short almost half the state budget, $39.5 billion, and the whole budget's only $90 billion.
Right.
We are going to see the implosion of the state of California.
Well, in Britain, they've announced to the public there that they better be ready to work till age 70, save their money, or face a retirement in poverty. And those were the words used, and they were front page headlines about 10 days ago.
Right.
It's coming here. It is here already. Now, if we understand, the Japanese have savings of $100,000 on the average per person. Americans don't save any money. So we don't have savings. We're encouraged to spend. There's going to be a tax cut next year of another $1,000 per average household. They're encouraging us to spend, not save. So be careful here what you do with your money, and certainly those who have a little cash and are free of debt will survive and thrive better than others. So be careful there. Get some good advice. So it's going to be a treacherous year economically.
Well, I think that we should do our best. We should make our plans, and then in the final analysis, realize we're going to have to rely on the Lord. Bill, thanks so much for being with us. Have a wonderful New Year, and we'll be talking to you later this week.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest was Bill Sardi. This is the time, of course, why we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers, and we ask you to pray for revival in America, because if Americans don't turn back to God, God will turn his back on this country forever. And lastly, we ask you to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty. We ask you to pray for our provision and our protection. And so until we will be here again, I guess tomorrow we'll be doing a program. Probably won't have a guest. It'll just be open lines, and we'll be talking a little bit about what I think the future holds. And so until then, may the Lord be with you.
And then what other times do you have? Do you know?
Well, right now, I think we have most of the other radio time covered, but there's a lot of things that
can be done
around here. You know, as Patricia was saying, you know, she would have known being here, she would have had all these other things up. Because we have to put together catalogs. You were doing some kind of catalog, or you said out there from hundreds of these. You do all our training every. I first put out our newsletters, 3,000 of those, and sent out pages all across the country. And Steve produces a lot of those. My son produces them too. So it's a real community effort. So there are always a million things that have to be done. Sometimes it's just getting things filed away, like those things this afternoon, but those have been sitting around for a long time and just needed to be done. So,
yeah, I love
so
this.
So this will be a big help. So
yeah. And, you know, for me, more difficult to commit to a, because I'm a speaker for the Christian Women's Club right now, and I'm booked for a year. And typically they're midweek. You know, I have that schedule and I can go through that. Typically they're not on a Monday or Friday, but I only do 1 to 3 a month because my family and everything else.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to wait for
all. No,
I think you can do that with their ministry. And
what do you speak on the women's club?
Well, really, I give my testimony, I give the gospel, and I bring people to the Lord, and then I direct them to the Bible, not to the church.
All my fun.
Did you want to set up another day now?
Oh, yeah, I did.
We're going
to do this Tuesday. That would be great.
Great.
Oh, wonderful.
We're
still looking for somebody for Tuesday evening.
Yeah. Okay. Let me look at my schedule and see what I can do.
Okay. Yeah, if that would work out for you, John, because that would be, you know,
yeah.
And we can, you know, if we could even get some people that could trade, you know, would be available to.
And these are people from all across the country or in various incentives.